Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and alone? Well, heaven home, when Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches. He watches me. Oh, I sing because I'm happy. Oh, I sing because I'm free. Oh, here I am, it on the sparrow, and I know he watches. He watches me. Oh, I sing because I'm happy. Oh, I sing because I'm free. Oh, his eye is on the span, the sparrow, and I know, and I know, and I know he watches. He watches me. Oh, I sing. I don't know about you all, because I'm happy. Oh, I sing because I'm free. Oh, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. He watches me. Anybody happy today? Now, I'm not talking about this surface stuff. I'm talking about real joy. Anybody really got joy today in spite of your circumstance, in spite of what you are going through? And you can sing today because you're free. Amen. I just believe the Lord cares a little bit more about me than he does a sparrow. Amen. And if he takes care of the birds, don't you know the Lord's going to take care of you? I wish I had a witness in here today. Won't the Lord take care of you? Amen. There's a word I want to lift today from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. Beginning at verse number 13. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk from a thought today. I will be back. I will be back. I'm somewhat of an old movie buff. I like old movies. I like the Turner Classic Channel, where a lot of movies are still in black and white. Amen. I was looking this week, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma for a day or so, and I was watching TV that night, and they were showing an old movie, The Invisible Man. In this movie, the chief character had the ability that whenever the situation called for it, he had the ability to think himself invisible. Whenever he got in a tight spot, whenever he needed to escape or disappear or be someplace that was hostile to him, he could make himself invisible and move about unnoticed. Because nobody could see him. Maybe y'all have seen the movie. It allowed him to escape his surroundings. It allowed him to escape his problems. He didn't have to deal with some things simply because he could not be seen. It started me to thinking, and how nice it would be if I had the ability to think myself invisible. There's a whole bunch of stuff I would love to escape from, to be able to get away from. I think I'm on somebody's street here today. Not only that, but I could go into enemy territory unnoticed and unchecked. If only I could become invisible. Anybody else here wish you had the ability to be invisible? To get away from some stuff, to go into the enemy's camp and see what they are plotting and planning for your demise. When I looked at this text, it immediately made me realize that there was a revelation in the movie I had just watched. Y'all watch me, I promise it will make sense. In the text, here we find Jesus, who has gone from being the talk of the town, who the angels sing to nobody, to being nobody being able to find him. He, Joseph, is told to take him out of the city and go to Egypt. The child of destiny, Jesus, God comes to Joseph and says to Joseph, the enemy is looking to take him out. Because the enemy knows what destiny the child holds. Some parents, you better hear me today, because some of the stuff going on with your child is not all psychological or academic, but the enemy comes after your child early because he sees the anointing on your child's life early. That's why some of y'all buying all these books, watching Dr. Phil, trying to figure out how to handle your children, when what you may need to do is lay your hands on them and lift them up to God in prayer. Tell the enemy, I know you're coming after my child because there's destiny in my child. There's destiny on my child. But Satan, you're a liar. You cannot have my child. I wish I had some parents who are bold enough to tell Satan, you're a liar, you will not have my child, because my child has destiny. God tells Joseph, the enemy is coming after him because there's destiny on him. So the child goes from being noised about, talked about, to not being heard about, because every now and then life will present you with challenges that will have you disappearing. I don't know who I'm talking to in here today, but you used to be the life of the party. You listen, you used to have it all together. Every I dotted, every T crossed, but now all of a sudden life threw you a curveball. And don't nobody hear from you no more. Y'all know anybody like that? You find yourself saying, you know, I hadn't seen them. You know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all don't have to say that you've got all that is look in the mirror. You ain't got to look at nobody else, just look in the mirror, because you're disappearing. You go into hiding. You go away. You don't want anybody to see you, because life used to be good for you, but now life has gotten rough for you. Can't nobody find you. Won't answer your telephone. You won't talk to nobody. Won't respond to emails. Who am I talking to in here today? You're in church, but you're in Egypt. Life has gotten so rough for you that you've gone into hiding. But I came by to let somebody know today that the shout today is, when God puts favor on you, listen, your life will get challenged, but victory is guaranteed. Your life will be challenged. The enemy is going to come after you. You might disappear for a little while, but your victory is guaranteed, because God will protect you until it's your time. He'll protect you until he makes a way. And when the Lord makes a way, he'll bring you back again. Will you tell somebody, I may be down right now, but I'm just waiting on the Lord to bring me back. I'm just waiting on the Lord to make a way for me. I may not have it all together right now, but I'm just waiting on the Lord to make a way. I'm looking for somebody who can say, Pastor, you talking about me this morning. Listen, I'm down now, but I will be back. I lost my job, but I will be back. My finances are jacked up, but I will be back. I just went through a divorce, but I will be back. I got betrayed by fake friends, but I will be back. Can't find a job nowhere, but I will be back. Is there anybody who can push your neighbor and say, he talking about me today? This shout is for me, because I will be back. Listen, you ain't got to take my word for it. I can go to the Bible and prove that you will be back. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I will be back. Behind every dark cloud, there's a silver lining. I will be back. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut off. I will be back. I've been off the radar for a while, but my destiny is secure. My victory is guaranteed. I ain't running. I ain't scared. I ain't surrendering. God is just hiding me. Watch this. Watch this. Some running, some hiding is divinely orchestrated. The text says that an angel comes to Joseph in a dream and tells Joseph, get up, don't wait, don't have time to waste. Get up and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Don't miss this. Some hiding is divinely orchestrated. Because God is so committed to your destiny and his plan that he knows the plan of the enemy before you know the plan of the enemy. And God knows there's some things you're not ready to deal with yet. Let me say that again. Some stuff you're not ready to handle yet. Now, Jesus will be ready for the devil in the wilderness, but at this point, he's not ready to handle the enemy. And God says, I know that there's some battles that you are not ready for yet. So when I hide you, it's not that you're scared of the devil. It's because you're committed to your destiny. Some battles are not worth risking your destiny just to prove a point. And there's some fights that are not worth fighting because it's not worth, listen, it's not worth risking what you might lose. Because if God does not authorize the fight and you go into the fight by yourself, I'm just grateful that God knows that there's some battles I'm not ready for yet. There's an old saying that says you ought to choose your battles. Listen. Every fight you fight here at Mount Moriah ain't even necessary. Y'all hear what I said? It's some stuff you ought to be able to look over. Some stuff you ought to be able to get past. You ought not to have to battle about everything. Listen. If I battle about folk talking about me, I'd be fighting every day. In some battles, you ought not have to fight. Some battles, you ought to let the Lord fight the battle for you. I'm not going to fight nobody because they don't speak to me. I'm not going to fight nobody by talking about me. None of that. Some battles, you really don't have to fight. And we fight over the smallest stuff. You know, most of us get talked about at work. We still punching that time clock every day. Still doing what we got to do. But when it comes to the church, we can't stand no pressure. And I've never understood, folk will say, listen, I just can't put up with them hypocrites in Mount Moriah. You know them folk in Mount Moriah? It ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, Mount Moriah is just full of hypocrites. But you deal with hypocrites on the job. You got hypocrites at the grocery store. Some of us are sleeping in the bed with hypocrites, sitting down at the table with hypocrites. But when it comes to the church, we can't stand no pressure. Listen, the church is for folk that got problems and issues. Jesus says, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, if you got it all together, you really don't even need to be here. Do I have a witness in here today? Anybody not ashamed to admit that I got some issues, I got some problems? That's why I'm here today, because I'm asking the Lord to help make me better. Some of y'all sitting there looking at me cross-eyed. Listen, I don't care how saved you are. I don't care how many scriptures you know. I don't care if your cross is big enough to scare Dracula. You're not ready for some battles yet. And you better be smart enough to listen to God when God says, get out of there. Y'all better hear me. Listen, listen. Reverend Smith, I know what my weakness is. And everybody, you know what your weakness is. And listen, some things I know I ain't strong enough to deal with. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get myself away from that situation. Are y'all hearing me? Not that I'm scared, but it's because I know I'm not strong enough. When she sends that email, you already think she's fine. Don't respond to it. When he asks you out for lunch and you know you like him already, don't go. When you know they push your buttons enough to make you cuss like a sailor, get out of there. You got to be smart enough to know that there's some battles you are not ready for yet. And what the text suggests is that sometimes God won't move people, but God will move you. I think I said something. God said, let Herod stay right where he is. I'm going to move you. And how many know that every now and then, God will move you away from some situations. God will move you away from some struggles, from some people that you can't deal with right now. And they can be mad. You don't talk to them no more. You act stuck up. You think you're better than me. No, I just think I'm better. But God has moved me. Because he don't want to mess up my destiny. Tell your neighbor, some folk you need to move away from, some situations you need to move away from. That was a wrong neighbor. Tell the other neighbor, listen, some people you need to move away from, some situations you need to move away from. How many of y'all thankful that there's some folk you don't see no more? I should say anymore, but no more. Listen, I need some help in here. How many of y'all can say, God, I thank you. There's some folk you moved away from me. God, I thank you that you orchestrated some moves in my life. They don't have my phone number. They don't know my address. They don't know my email. They don't know where I live. God, you move me. God says there's some stuff you're not ready to handle yet. You better let me move you. You're not ready to handle it yet. Let me say that again. You're not ready to handle it yet. You're not ready to handle it yet. Now, I'll give you your day to handle the devil, but this ain't the day. So God said, leave Herod there. I'm going to move you. God says to Joseph, and I'm almost through. God says to Joseph, and brothers, we got to give Joseph some dap because Joseph is called to make a whole lot of sacrifice. Number one, Joseph is told by the woman he loved that she's pregnant, and he knows he ain't touched her yet. The rumor on the street is that she's claiming it's by the Holy Ghost. I need some brothers to help me in here. The rumor is she saw that look on Joseph's face and said what happened was, I need some brothers to help me here. She's pregnant not by him, and the street committee says she's pregnant by the Holy Ghost. And you know what? Every church has got a street committee. Y'all ain't hearing, man. Every church has got a rumor committee that all they talk about is what I heard and what somebody told me. And listen, there's some rumors going around Mount Moriah that somebody needs to stop spreading the rumors. And so the rumor is that she's pregnant by the Holy Ghost. If that's not enough, the angel that came to Mary comes to Joseph and says, marry her. So his fiance is pregnant. It ain't his child. The angel of the Lord says, marry her. And look like a fool to everybody. Follow the child as if he's yours. Then the angel comes back and says, move. Take this pregnant girl as my wife, marry her. Now you want me to relocate. You want me to leave everything I'm comfortable with. Leave my job. Leave my family that I need the support. And you want me to relocate? And do it, Joseph, not for a blessing for yourself, but to protect the destiny of somebody else. Let me tell you something. God will surround you with people who care enough about the anointing on your life that they will cover you and are not getting anything from it. Do I have a witness in here today? Is there anybody here today got enough God in them that you don't need the Lord to give you anything for looking out for somebody else? That just because you know that they love the Lord, that you've got their best interest at heart, and you do everything you can to protect them? God says, I want to give you some folk that ain't looking for nothing. Don't want nothing from you, but care enough about the anointing on you that they will sacrifice their own life to make sure that the devil don't get to you. Look at Joseph. He leaves his home, he leaves his job, he leaves his family and goes to Egypt. He says to Joseph, take him to Egypt. The first thing about Egypt is the enemy territory. Have you ever had God to hide you in places you're not supposed to survive? I'm talking to somebody that's on a job and you know they're trying to fire you, but you're still there and they can't help but give you the raise. Who am I talking to here today? Some of y'all on a job and you know they've been after you a long time, but God is hiding you in enemy territory. But here's what got me, Reverend Washington. Y'all watch me. In Egypt. Y'all know what Egypt is, don't you? It's in Africa. It's Black History Month, ain't it? I thought I had to throw a little bit of that in there. And number one, you can't hide something in a place unless it's inconspicuous. Y'all following me? Y'all following me closely now. That implies that everything around it looks like it. You can't hide Jesus in Africa unless he looks like Africans. So much for all your pictures you got hanging on the wall. This ain't social gospel. This ain't nothing but the truth. He hides him in Egypt. And you can't hide somebody in Egypt unless they got skin like Egyptians. Egypt is in Africa. You showing off today, Pastor? Yes, I am. And some of y'all need to go home and take some of them pictures down. So he hides them in Africa with folk that look like him. And here's my point. He hides him with folk who has something in common with him. And what you need to be looking for is some folk who have some spiritual commonality with you. You need to look for folk who have something in common with you so y'all can connect spirit to spirit. Some of y'all can't get anywhere because you're hanging out with trifling folk who are not trying to go anywhere. Listen, let me move on. But do you know that you already have everything you need to survive whatever you go through? God's already given it to you. God does not wait until you get in the struggle to give you what you need. God prepares you before you get to the struggle. And sometimes you don't even know you got what you need until you get where you need it at. Listen, somebody here today didn't know you had as much God as you have until you got in a situation where you had to call on him. So somebody didn't know you had as much faith as you have until you needed to use your faith. Somebody didn't know and didn't think you could get over losing your mama, get over losing your daddy, but every day it got a little bit easier and a little bit easier. God will give you what you need before you need it. Well, let me prove it. It's right here in the text. They flee their homeland. They leave everything and everybody. You got to remember in Luke when they go to the dedication in the temple. They bring the offering of a poor family. Not a poor family, but a poor family. Mary and Joseph are poor. They ain't got no money. Even with the job he has as a carpenter, he's not making much money. He's making minimum wage like some of us in here today. He has the job that he has. And listen, he goes to the enemy territory where nobody's going to hire him. Nobody's going to hire him there. How are they going to survive? God tells them, go to Egypt, but he doesn't have any money. How are they going to survive? Y'all remember the three wise men, don't you? Go ahead and preach, boy. I believe I will. One of the things that the three wise men brought was gold. One of the things they brought was something they could hold them until they got back to Egypt. The wise men brought him gold. Joseph didn't know when he got it, why he needed it, but when he had to go, he had everything he needed to survive. Who am I talking to in here today? How many know that God has already provided you with everything you need to make it through what you are going through? How many of y'all can say, God, I thank you that when I went through my drought, I had everything that I needed. Is anybody here can say, Pastor, listen, I'm not living in overflow. It's not pressed down, shaken together. It's not running over. But I thank God I got everything I need. I wish I had some everything I need folk in here today who can shout. Listen, I'm not living high on the hog. I've been some baloney every now and then. But thank God I've got everything. Oh, come on, come on. I need some folk in here today can thank God that I got everything that I need. I ain't got a whole lot of extra, but thank God I got everything that I need. I didn't have to beg, borrow, or steal. Because you gave me what I needed before I got there. And some of y'all are not going to like that because if you've got a rough spot of unemployment and can't find a job and can't pay your bills, it's not that God didn't give you what you needed. You got the gold before you got to the problem. The problem is you didn't have gold stewardship over what God gave you for a rainy day. And some of y'all spent everything you got. Air penny. Hey, what I said, a penny. Some of y'all can't save a dime. And when trouble comes, you're in trouble. Listen, you ought to put something back. If it ain't but a dollar, put it back. The reason some of us got to call the church 3 or 4 times for benevolence every year ain't because you ain't got nothing. It's because you spend it in places when God wants you to have it for a rainy day. Some of us don't need more money. We need better money management. Can anybody remember when you were making $10 an hour and you said, God, if I can just make 15. God, I'll be able to save me some money. Just let me get a job making $15 an hour. God, I'm going to save some money. And what happens is when we're making $10 an hour, we have $10 an hour bills. But when the Lord allows us to make $15 an hour, instead of keeping our $10 an hour bills, we're going to make $15, $16, $17 an hour bills. It's income tax season. And some of y'all been talking about since June what you're gonna do when you get your tax money back. Don't throw nothing at me. Don't throw nothing at me. And some of you, especially single mothers with more than one child, you get a nice little piece of change. And I've noticed that when you get your taxes, the car you've been driving in for the last 2 years suddenly ain't good enough. The hair you've been wearing for the last year ain't good enough. You've been going to the same nail shop getting the same manicure, but now you gotta have a different color on this finger, and a gold tip on this finger. Y'all might not like it, but it's the truth. Put some money aside. Don't spend it all. Yeah. Do you know why car dealers let you have a car in March? Y'all know why they let y'all, you ain't got to have no credit, you don't leave a $500. You know why they let y'all have it in March? Because they know by June or July they're going to have it back again. They can sell it to somebody else. You got to be smart. All right, that's enough of that. Finally, I will be back. Whenever what I'm going through has run its course. Listen, evil has a season. I know you don't like it, don't want to hear it. Evil has a season, but it's only for a season. Verse 16 says, evil has a season, but it's only a season. Look at verse 19. But when Herod died, God will kill your enemies. I think I need to say that again. God, not you, God will kill your enemies. You don't have to fight your battles. God will kill your enemies. Even in the church, God will kill some folk. And it's not always physical death. He has a way of killing their influence, killing their voice, killing their clique. God will kill your enemies. Didn't he say we'll make your enemies your footstool? So that you can stand on them and go higher. After Herod died, the child was still standing. After they've tried to make you out, take you out. After they've lied on you, after they've scandalized your name, after losing a job, going through the divorce, the abuse, how many can say I'm still standing? Oh, come on, I need some folk in here today that have been through something, and God brought you out, and you can declare today that I'm still standing. They tried to take me out, tried to take my mind, tried to take my life, my self-esteem, but I'm still. Because you know somebody or something has tried to take you out. But look at them and look at it, and you're still standing. Tell your neighbor, I'm still standing. You don't know what I've been through, but I'm still standing. You don't know how many nights I cried all night long, but I'm still. Satan thought he had me, but Jesus reached down and grabbed me, and I'm still standing. Finally, when Joseph left with Jesus, scholars like Josephus suggests that Jesus was less than 1 year old. He left in about 6 B.C. Herod dies in about 3 B.C., which means he's about 3 when they return. When they run, he has to be carried. When they come back, he can walk. I'm going somewhere. Because he's bigger than he was when he left. He's stronger than he was when he left. Let me help somebody and get your shout on today. Tell somebody, get a good look at me now. Because when God brings me back, I'll be bigger, I'll be better, I'll be stronger than I've ever been. Is there anybody here can say that problem made me better? That problem made me bigger. That problem made me stronger. Now there'll be somebody here today can say, I've cried my last tear yesterday. Because when I come back, I'll be bigger than I've ever been. Tell somebody, when you see me again, I'll be smiling. When you see me again, I'll have joy. When you see me again, I'll have a better job. I'll have money in my pocket. When I get back, I'll have a new shout and a new testimony. I may be down, but I'm not out. I will be back. I may be broke, but I will be back. I may be walking, but I will be back. Is there anybody here in hiding right now? Tell your neighbor, watch out. I'm on my way back. Won't he bring you back? Can you say like Joseph, you meant it for evil, but God turned it into good? Won't the Lord turn your life around? And listen, you'll tell your neighbor, give me some room. This is an SOS moment. You better scoot over some. Because the Lord's about to bring me back. And when I come back, I'll have a new shout. And a new dance. I don't care what you're going through. If you're in hiding right now, the Lord is trying to protect your destiny. And when he brings you back, you'll be better than before you left. Amen.